I have a thought on my heart to share with you today. And I trust it'll bless you as it has me. Going back into the life of King David and his deep desire to build a temple, a place for the Ark of the Covenant. It is born in his heart. And the Lord would not permit David to do it because he'd been a man of war. But it pleased the Lord, his desire pleased God, and he permitted Solomon to build it. But he permitted David to raise materials, monies, what it took to erect the tabernacle of the temple. David was really pleased to do that. And he instigated the first united thrust that I've ever read about anywhere. Raising materials, monies for the erection of the temple. When it is all finished, that is his part, he had raised 2,450 million dollars in silver, gold, brass, and iron, and stone, precious stone. What? 2,450 million dollars. And he was overwhelmed. Now, David was absolutely overwhelmed, and he prayed a thanksgiving prayer, and I want to read that prayer, portion of it, today. It's found in the First Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. Thanksgiving prayer. I don't know about you angels, but I have never in my life been privileged to express just exactly like I feel about the Lord to the Lord. I get off by myself and I want to praise Him, and I just do my very best to praise Him, and seem like when I finish, still haven't said it like I want to. How many of you have experienced that? Well, I tell you what I do. Sometimes I go to men in the Bible that I know they please God. Just read their praise and their prayers, and just in my heart, I'm saying, me too, me too, me too, me too. And you listen to David. Now, this is after that united thrust and it being such a glorious success. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, 1 Chronicles 29, beginning with verse 10. I'll read it again. Some of you didn't have it. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, and here's where I read where David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, now listen at him, and the power, and the glory, and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. I just want to say that's me saying that too. That's me saying
praise
that.
God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Thank God. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. We praise thy glorious name. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this great man after God's own heart. But who am I? But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Oh, that's something. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Glory to God. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all the store that we have prepared to build thee in house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own.
Praise God.
Bless our hearts together.
Thank you, Jesus.
You and I do not own one thing. It all belongs to Him. Praise God. You don't have nothing that God didn't give you. And you never did give Him nothing that He didn't give to you to give. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. It's all Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I'm going to speak to you for a little while, and of thine own have we given thee. That's in verse 14. Who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things are thine, and of thine own have we given thee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank God. Thank God. Can you agree with that Thanksgiving prayer that it's all true? Praise God. All things come from God. Everything we have. And you do not possess one thing today that God couldn't come and get. Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing in the world. I'm glad that I realized that. I'm going to speak to you from the thought I introduced, and also mention who am I and giving after this sort. I'm going to give you a little illustration about our giving after this sort. Long time ago, our children were small, and the church gave me a pocket watch, a very beautiful pocket watch. I still have it. I still wind it up and wear it. I fuss because I don't put watch pockets in pants no more. And church gave me a 21-jewel Elgin watch. And the children went to the drugstore and bought me a watch chain to go with my new watch. I already had a little knife to go on the end of the chain, put my watch in my pocket, my knife in my hip pocket, and I really had me a good outfit. They wrapped that chain in a nice box and put my name on it and their name on it and brought it to me. I unwrapped it, excited and thrilled, just as you would have been. Put the chain on my watch and went and got my knife and hung it on, and I just walk around and swing that chain. First of the month, I got a bill from Ryder's Jewelry Store for a watch chain.
Yes, sir.
Now, who gave who?
Yes, sir.
I use that as an illustration. I use that as an illustration. Who gave who?
Yes, sir.
Now, all you give, where did you get it? Who's really giving? Now, that's giving after the sort. David, just so grateful to God, he expressed it. Oh, I like the way he just kept on. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And who am I and who is my people that we're able to give after this sort? For all things are thine. All things come from thee. We don't have anything that you didn't give us. And I'm really not giving you anything that's mine when I give it back to you. It's already yours. Now, God bless your heart. You may think I'm trying to convince you of that, but I'm already convinced. I know it.
I believe that.
Praise God. Already is. Already is. Somebody speaking to me about continuing on preaching. I preach quite a bit around home, other places. Fixing to go to California and preach two or three different places. Well, Brother Glass, looks like you should have reached a place that you could just stop and sit down. I said, as long as God gives me strength, I'm going to give it back to Him.
Right.
It comes from Him, I'm going to give it to Him.
Right.
And I don't use it for anything else.
That's good.
I went to the General Conference, my 51st General Conference, that is our 64th. And I attended 51 of them. I don't know of no one that's attended more than that. I don't know of anyone. And you know what I did? I stayed in my hotel and walked across to the conference hall and come back to my hotel. On the street I was on was that one that run between the hotel and the conference. I didn't go over there to see a thing in the world. Was nothing over there I wanted to see but God's people and conference. Praise the Lord. Giving it back to the Lord. He gives to me and I'm going to give to Him.
That's right.
Now folks, I know that the devil will try to make you think about the big sacrifice you're making to be a missionary, and we remind you of it all the time. We keep it in your mind. If you were to forget it, we'd remind you of it. That's true. Everywhere you go, people in a lot of churches are in sympathy with you. I hear them say, "I'd rather give as go." But I'm just going to look right straight at you and tell you, you belong to God.
That's right.
You're His. If He wants to send you across the world, that's His business. If I was you, I'd throw my hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord." I wouldn't complain one bit in the world. You're His. Bought with a price. You're not your own. We're not our own. Praise God. And I think about, I hear about putting their children in boarding schools. Heard Brother Turner, saw him greet his beautiful daughter. He told me that she's going to school in Charleston, West Virginia, for the Coles Church. How glad he was to see her over here at School of Missions. Going to get to see her again one more time before he goes back to the field. I know that really isn't an easy thing to do. I know that. But I think about Hannah. I think about Hannah after God had blessed her with a child that she had prayed for and asked for. And then when he was weaned, she took him to the temple and gave him to God. Left him there. Now I can understand why she did that and how she did it when I read what I've read to you here. That child didn't belong to her. God gave that child. She wouldn't have never had it if God hadn't have given it. Now, if God wants it in the temple, it's His.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
So, Brother, Sister Turner, don't feel too bad. Feel real good that got a good school to go to. God's going to take care. Praise the Lord. I think about Abraham offering Isaac. Now you and I read that and we've heard it so much and we know so much about it. We have the opinion that was the easiest thing in the world to do. Why, it's a simple matter for Abraham to offer Isaac. That's just what you're thinking, if you're thinking that. Isaac was a promised child, and he was a child of a man in his old age. Now, I come from a large family. Large family. 11 of us. And I was the second. And my father and mother were almost past the childbearing days. My youngest brother was born on my mother's 43rd birthday, and it was Mother's Day.
My.
What a gift. And us older ones, we soon saw that we didn't have no place with them that child of their old age had. I don't mean they mistreated us. We was happy about it. We was all glad for our little brother. But he was the child of their old age. And he got by things. I was the first boy. And I got by with nothing. I'm trying to help you to see how Abraham really loved Isaac. Child of his old age. Loved him. I remember after we were all gone but the last one. He's graduating out of high school. He wanted a car. He wanted a car. And my dad is in a position to buy him a car. But he said, no, I couldn't buy none of the rest of them one, and I'm not going to buy you one. And me being the oldest boy, and I was his pastor at this time, I went to him, I said, now, Dad, you did the very best you could for every one of us. You never failed us nowhere. You did the best you could. Now you're in a position to buy him a car. I say, buy him a car. He said, you mean that? I said, I mean it. He said, what do you think the rest of them will say? I said, I'll take care of the rest of them. In 3 days, he had a new car. Child of his old age.
Yes.
Well, Abraham has a son of his old age, promised of God, an heir. He had longed for an heir, longed for one. He had a good servant in his home, and he went to God and asked God to allow him to make that servant his heir. And God said, no, I'm going to give you an heir out of your own loins. And Sarah must have heard that. Undoubtedly she did. And years go on by and there's no son out of his loins. And Sarah, in my thinking, is blaming herself for not being able to bear Abraham a son out of his own loins. So she goes and gets her servant, her maid, Sarah, and tells Abraham to take Sarah and bear a son with Sarah. That would be out of his loins. They're trying to help God out. God doesn't need your help.
That's it.
He'll work in his own time. Getting ahead of the Lord. It's easy to get ahead of the Lord. And now, Ishmael is Abraham's son. Why can't he be the heir? No. Finally, lastly, Isaac is born, and you try to imagine it with me, the excitement. I studied the other day. Abraham never staggered at the promise of God. If he is past the flower of his age, and Sarah's past the flower of her age, he never staggered at the promise of God. Never staggered. Let me digress here and say, you have a promise.
Yes.
And I'm not just speaking about the Holy Ghost. You have that, and what a promise. What an experience. But God has told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he concludes by saying, lo, I am with you always.
Praise the Lord.
Always. I'm with you.
Praise God.
Even unto the end of the world or the age. Now, don't stagger at that promise.
Praise God.
Brother Wynn Joss, I read a little of your book. I want to read it all. I'm spending time with my Bible here, but I'll sit down and read it all. I've just read enough to see where God has certainly had to be with you. And had to be with your dear wife for you to be able to get through the places you've been. But isn't that just in keeping with his promise? I'll be with you. And think of who he's been with that you've read about in the Bible. Look at Daniel. Look where he wound up because he was faithful and true to God. He actually went to the, what you want me to say, Brother Draws, den of lions, a lion's den. He was interpreting for me one time, and he got bogged down. I didn't. He did. Anyway, Daniel found himself among lions in a den of them for praying. Prayer is what took him there. Now, that's absolutely the truth. You probably never heard it on that wise, but it's the truth. Jealous men of Daniel wanted to do away with him. They were jealous of him, and jealousy is cruel. And they wanted to find some fault with him, and one of them said, the only fault you'll ever find with Daniel is with him and his God. Now, brother, isn't that a compliment? Only fault you'll ever find with Daniel is with him and his God. And so they plotted. We'll get signature of the king that no man can bow down or worship anyone for 30 days save the king himself. That wasn't hard to get from the king. He loves to be worshipped and bowed down to. He didn't know it was going to be like that, though. And then, after the king signed it, it's law that can't be changed. And they went to Daniel's window where he prayed. No, and he's going to pray. Now, missionaries, you listen to me. How disappointed would those people have been had Daniel not have prayed? Their faith in him, their faith in him as a man of prayer was strong. They knew nothing would stop him. Nothing. Even the threat of the law that's just passed. Going into the den of lions never stopped him. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I thank God for men that will hold faithful and true to God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I think he spent a good night. Had precious memories after that. He ever got to go back among his people, he had precious memories to tell. You'll have them. But God was in there with him. Lock their jaws. Lord, I am with you. I am with you.
And I say this, if God's with you, who in the world can be against you?
That's right.
And you've got that promise. I've got that promise. I hadn't been preaching too long. Just, you may be able to profit from this. I went to Port Arthur, Texas to conduct a revival meeting. I was pastoring in Manny, Louisiana. I got on a train and I went. And had a very nice place to stay in the pastor's home. God woke me up one night, just as wide awake as I am now, and he didn't speak audible, but he spoke, and I knew who said it. I knew what he said. And you know he has spoken to you that you knew it was God. He said to me, I'm going to give you this city. I'm going to give you this city. Well, I was preaching for a pastor. I'm not going to try to undermine no pastor. Oh, sir. Don't care if I did feel like God said it, and God did say it. Now, I never mentioned it to a living soul. Not a living soul. Finished the revival. Went on back to my church, pastoring it, and I heard that the pastor had resigned and had gone to Kansas. And a bunch of sinner men had builded me an arbor about 8 or 10 miles out of Manny. Sinner men. I had no car, depression times. And a sinner let me have a car to drive to and from and preaching that arbor meeting. And I come in one night after preaching, and there was a carload of officials from that church in Port Arthur came after me to pastor it. God told me I'm going to give you that city. And I went there and stayed 10 years. And the reason I left, this is won't mean anything to a lot of you, but Brother A.T. Morgan, one time General Superintendent, died General Superintendent. I got saved under him. He was Assistant Postmaster in DeRidder. I was pastor in the church in Port Arthur. He'd come down and preached a few times for me, and that church really loved him, enjoyed him, enjoyed his preaching. And he's there when I'm, and he came out of the office. I said, Brother Morgan, I'll give you this church if you'll get out of that post office and go full time. Now, I wouldn't say that if he hadn't said it himself before he died. I heard him say it several times. Brother Freeman knows it. He knows all about it. Brother and Sister Freeman, I saw them shaking their head. They know all about it. Took me 8 months. Boy, he said to me, I've been with the government in civil service all of these years. I have security. I have retirement. He said, Brother Glass, is there any better security on this earth than Uncle Sam? I looked at him straight in the face and I said, yes, sir, Brother Morgan, there's better security than Uncle Sam. And I still believe it.
Right.
And he said, well, you're right. You're right. Well, he took the church and he was elected general superintendent from that church. That's the reason I left Port Arthur. God gave me that city. And many times when I was there, in 10 years, a pastor will have a lot of problems, you know. He's there 6 months, he'll have a lot of problems. But you remember this. Many times in prayer over problems that I couldn't handle. I just couldn't do it. I would say, Lord, I never came to this city for any other purpose in the world but to preach the gospel.
Right.
Serve your people. That's all that they ever come here for. Wouldn't have ever come here if it hadn't have been for that. And he's with me. He's with me.
Right.
He's not going to take you off nowhere and leave you alone. He's going to be there with you. He's right there with you. Praise the Lord. Stagger not at the promises of God. I can understand very easily how Abraham offered Isaac. I read this. It is interesting to me. It's very interesting to me. And I believe it. I read it in some church history. I was better than 12 years old when Abraham took him to Moriah to offer him. He wasn't no lad of a boy. 25-year-old man now is quite a man. And in the course of the offering, sacrificing, erecting the altar, Abraham, after telling him God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's in there for our learning. But he explained to Isaac all about what God had told him to do. And Isaac said, Father, if God told you to offer me as a sacrifice, if you don't do it, I won't live anyway. And you will fail God. Isaac willingly got on that altar. Well, Brother Glass, why was he strapped? I'd have strapped him too. Going to come into his heart with a knife. I'm not going to see bouncing all over that altar and off of it and on the ground. I'd have strapped him to. And if you're having a little trouble with this, how many of you believe Isaac is a type of Christ?
Yep. That's it.
Well, did Christ die willingly?
Willingly.
Well, if Isaac hadn't have been willing, he couldn't have been.
That's right.
A type of Christ. Abraham knew that he came from God. And his faith in God was that even if I offer him, that the Lord has to raise him from the dead right here on Mount Moriah, he'll do it. That's how faithful and dependable God is. Praise the Lord. I've been wanting to preach ever since I've been here. And wanted to in another school of missions or so. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Had a lady in the church that sang that. And very often I'd ask her to sing that song. Great is thy faithfulness. And I want to tell you, precious people, as an old preacher, it's gone through a storm too in life. I can shout from the mountaintop, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I'll never leave you alone. You'll never be found by yourself. Praise God. Praise God. He'll keep every promise he ever made. Oh, God. Glory to God. Now, all you have is his. That child is his. That wife is his. That husband is his. You don't own nothing. You just don't own nothing. You claim it, but you couldn't hold to it if God wanted it. The things that I love and hold dear to my life are just borrowed. They're not mine at all.
That's right.
God only let me use them to brighten my life. Everything. Everything. Thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord. He owns you here, he'll own you there, wherever you go.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise.
Have no fear.
Praise.
Oh,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. What can I give him for all he has given? What can I offer the Lord? When the earth is his footstool and the heavens is his throne, the cattle of 1,000 hills my Lord already owns. All that I have was his from the start, so all I can offer the Lord is my heart.